Today is August 30th, 2017, and this is episode number 424 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm confused. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at bangbangbang@acm.macobserver.com.
So, Brian, I can sort out the confusion.
Yes,
please. The sun doesn't really go away. There's not a dragon eating it out of the sky. It's
really?
Just a natural phenomena where the moon is in the right position in relation to where we are on Earth, so it temporarily hides the sun.
So you mean, the sun is actually then on the underside of the Earth?
It's on the backside of the moon. Yes, it's on the underside of the Earth, Brian. Right. Yes.
There we go. I wrote something today about Shaquille O'Neal on Carpool Karaoke, and I just had to get a dig in on him being a flat earther.
Understandable.
What the crap is wrong with flat earthers? What the crap is wrong with these? What? I mean, get on a plane. Go fly to the ends of the earth and prove it. I mean, what the actual crap is wrong with these people?
What I think they should do is either get in a boat or in an airplane and travel out to the edge of the earth with a GoPro camera that has, you know, the wireless connectivity in it. Maybe take a drone, whatever.
Yeah.
And then shoot it out over the edge and see what's there.
Yeah, exactly. Prove it to us. I mean, oh my God. It just is baffling. It is baffling. I mean, look, Shaquille O'Neal has been on an airplane a lot. He has seen the curvature of the earth from the air.
Maybe he thinks that the windows on the airplane are consistently made wrong, so it artificially introduces a curve. I don't know.
He's got the money to prove it. That's my deal, man. Rich flat earthers. Like, shut up and prove it. Because, I mean, you know, it was just, wow. That just drives me. Anyway, Shaquille O'Neal. Flat earther.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I like the guy otherwise. I mean, I think he's funny. He's a funny man.
So I've got a question.
Yeah.
So if Earth is a flat thing, a disc.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go with disc because whatever. I mean, that's a lot of mass to have spread out like that in what I'm assuming is in relative terms, a relatively thin thing. So how do you keep that from buckling and cracking and just like coming apart?
Do you think that the physics of the issue is really anything that's going to stop a flat earther?
Probably not. But seriously, if Earth's flat, how come we haven't drilled all the way through it yet and we can look and see what's underneath? Is there a turtle there holding us up? Is it just emptiness? Are there stars?
I don't know. It is a good.
If Earth is flat, is the universe that we're in flat as
why?
Well? It's like we're sitting on a table.
In 2017, why are flat earthers a thing? How is this even possible? Where are we? Where did we go wrong? And I do have some ideas on this, but where did we go wrong to enable so much science denial?
I don't know. I mean, the Earth as a sphere, that was commonly accepted 1,000 years ago.
Was it 1,000 years ago?
Yeah, this is not a new concept.
There was some argument about that one.
No, they did the math.
Less than 1,000 years ago.
Oh, sure. Yes, there
wasn't commonly accepted.
It was commonly accepted. The flat earth argument amongst
some circles.
Amongst most circles. The argument against, which has been brought up as a big thing, it was actually not that big.
Hmm.
I know.
All right, so listen, I have a banana here.
Is that a banana in your tailpipe?
Nope, it's a banana in my hand.
Oh.
It's maybe not. Anyway, I'm going to eat it. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to have this flat earth talk has just made me hungry.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. See, the joke never gets old because I know right where to drop it. It's all about timing, Brian.
It's true.
Well,
it's true.
So what do you want to talk about first?
Well,
I'm totally being a jerk because I know you're eating and I'm making you answer questions.
Well, no one wants to hear me eat, man. I mean, it's completely unprofessional and ridiculous that I'm eating a banana, but this flat earth thing really does have it's got me cranky.
Are you stress eating over flat earthers?
Yes, I am. That's actually what I'm doing. I'm becoming less flat.
And see, the thing is, you're totally failing at stress eating. You should be having like pancakes.
So right near me, two blocks away from my new place, you know I moved, right? Mm-hmm. Well, about two blocks away from my new place is a place called Scrambles, breakfast to place. They close at 2, unfortunately. 2 in the afternoon. It's really ridiculous. But they have really good pancakes.
See, you could have had Scrambles pancakes as your stress food for flat earthers. I mean, the visualization would be great. I suppose you could do cookies.
Yeah, but I'm not eating desserts. Remember, it's that whole thing. No desserts.
I know, but okay.
And a pancake isn't dessert, it's breakfast.
See, so you can have the pancakes. All right, so if you don't do pancakes, what else could we do for flat food? Tortillas.
Tortillas, yeah. I don't know, something. Flat earthers. How is this a thing? So listen, Tim Cook's been running around. He's been running around like...
The globe?
No, the United States. Central bits of the United States. Mm-hmm. Austin, Iowa. He's been really, really prolific on Twitter. And many of these tweets have included pictures of him interacting with local folk.
Okay.
You notice this?
A lot of this started happening while I was completely off the grid.
Oh, that's right.
So when I play the straight man this time,
yeah,
I may very well be the straight man.
All right. Well, so here's the deal. While you were gone, our listeners may not know this, but you were gone basically over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And while you were gone, Tim announced $1.4 billion data center project in Iowa. And it's actually a $1.3 billion data center project in Iowa. But he also announced $100 million investment in our listeners know that we don't do our research. I don't actually have any notes in front of me, but it's called the Public Improvement Fund. Okay. So this is a local fund that's going to be administered by and managed by the city of Waukee, which is where the data center has been.
Okay.
Slated.
Okay. So that's a very nice community gesture.
Well, it is a very nice community gesture, especially since Apple got tax breaks. Yeah. Right. You know, I've been on about that for a long time.
Yeah. I have a problem with the tax breaks also, not just Apple, but any company that's getting these tax breaks. Don't get me started on American football stadiums because we don't have enough time.
Yeah, we don't. And you know, lots of folks are going to disagree with us and some folks will agree with us. And that's also fine too. But my big thing has been that if you're going to be in a local community, you need to contribute to the infrastructure and support needs of that community for it to be the kind of place that your employees need. If you're going to try to make money by being in an area, go ahead and pay your fair share. Right. Mm-hmm.
Seems reasonable to me.
But, you know, most large corporations are able to legally and legitimately go to local governments and say, you know, we're thinking about doing this big thing. Like for Apple, it might be a data center, maybe like when they bought that manufacturing facility down in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So, we're we're thinking about doing a thing here, but you know, what are you going to do for us? And county, state, and city governments will often give companies, not just Apple, of course, any kind of company, they'll often give them a tax break, a property tax break, rebates, refunds, that sort of thing, as incentive to get the company to open up business there. And it's just, it basically, big companies with money are able to play local governments against each other. And mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's just, I mean, yeah, it's, Apple is the last company on the planet that needs a big tax break.
Yeah, and yet if Apple doesn't ask for the tax breaks, then their investors will question how they're handling money.
That's always possible, yeah.
Yeah.
And as long as Apple is making money hand over fist, they're not really going to face all that much shareholder pressure. But, you know, goodness forbid that something happen and Apple's profits take a tumble. And then, you know, if Apple wasn't playing the same game that every other company is playing, then to your point, they would be subject to a shareholder revolt.
Right. And the governments, the local governments, they can't stop playing the game because they would all have to stop, and that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. So one county or city says no, and the business just goes somewhere else. It says yes.
Yes. That's exactly the case. So, Apple got, oops, sorry about that.
Did you slip on your banana peel?
Yeah. Bit of noise. Hopefully I didn't blow out anyone's ear. Apple did get some kind of tax break. Iowa, the state of Iowa, isn't saying what kind of tax break they gave Apple. And I don't think the local governments are either. But what Apple did is contributed $100 million to this fund. And this fund's going to be used to develop parks. It's a $1 billion fund. So Apple's contribution is not going to be all of it. But it is at the very least kicking things off. Sure. And it's gonna be parks, roads, libraries, like local things to make the city of Waukee better. And that's terrific. Now, lots of other, I think Facebook and Google, I believe, both have data centers in the same town.
OK.
Right. You know, these things tend to end up clustering together for a reason. Being that reason being that, A, the cities are willing to play ball on taxes,
and
they can get the power. Yeah. And Apple has access to it. It's of course going to be a 100% renewable power supplied facility. It's going to be a pretty big deal, and that's great. And it's also in Iowa, which happens to be one of the earliest primary process states in the United States of America. And for those outside of the United States, there are primaries and caucuses in each of the states to where candidates for running for president try to get the support of their party to be the actual candidate that runs come the fall of that election year. Mm-hmm. So am I saying that well enough?
Yeah, that's good. That'll work.
Okay. And Iowa has always been important because even though Iowa doesn't have a lot of people, it is the first... usually it's the first state that holds any kind of caucus or primary, and Iowa tends to do, I believe, caucuses. And so here Tim Cook is, and he's like, he's there to announce the data center. He's visiting with local Apple stores, and he tweeted images of himself interacting with Apple employees, and he went somewhere else in Iowa to talk about this. And again, he tweeted some images of himself. He went to Austin to announce a big Apple. Did you know about this Swift thing that they're doing?
Tell me about the Swift thing.
Well, I can't, like, did you actually know though?
I know a little bit about it.
So Apple has developed a curriculum that community colleges can use to teach Swift.
Oh, right. Yeah. When they first announced it, I remember writing about it. This is a thing where it's expanded now, more colleges.
Yes.
Okay.
Including Austin Community College, which is one of the biggest networks, college networks in the U.S. I think 74,000 students they have. And so, again, Tim actually went to Austin to announce this. And again, tweeted lots of pictures of himself interacting with the locals.
Okay.
I'm actually looking at Tim's.
At Tim's pictures?
Tim's feed. And we've got him at the Domain, which is a high-end shopping center, shopping mall, outdoor shopping mall in Austin, where there is a an Apple store. Oh, here he is visiting his Apple has a huge Apple Care facility. Like a whole bunch of Apple's Apple Care work is done in Austin. It's kind of a thing. And so he tweeted a picture of himself in that facility, hanging out with the Apple Care advisors. Actually, kind of looks like he may actually be talking to a customer with an Apple Care advisor, because Tim has a headset on.
Can you imagine being the person that's calling in for Apple Care? And you're like, yeah, I can't figure out why Touch ID doesn't work. And then it's actually Tim Cook talking to you.
That would be cool, especially if the person actually knew who Tim Cook was. Right. I sent you a link. We'll have a link in the show notes, by the way. It's twitter.com/Tim_Cook if you want to follow along at home. If you're following along in the car, please do not go look it up. Here,
but if you have someone with you in the car, they can look it up and then brag about how they're looking at it and you aren't.
Yes. Here he is announcing the deal with Austin Community College. Again, tweeting himself, shaking hands, kind of like a politician, with the leaders of the Austin Community College system. Here he is at the Capital Factory, which is a big developer. And he is laughing and hooting and hollering with the people in the office. Here he is back at the Hawkeye State. This is back going. Now I'm going backwards in time. So here he is.
Yeah, I have to interrupt you for a second, because my mm-hmm. favorite of these pictures is the mm-hmm. one where he's in the Apple Care Center and he's got his headset on and it looks like he's laughing. And the Apple Care guy is laughing too, and I'm picturing Tim interjecting into the call and saying, "You're holding it wrong,"
which is so ridiculous on so many levels. Not least of which is that he's not the one who said that.
I know. Yeah, I know. And yet, this is how my mind works.
Fair enough. Here he is at the Apple Jordan Creek, which is, you know, like for those of us on the outside is Apple Store, Jordan Creek, whatever. Here he is at the Waukee Apex. This time he's looking very thoughtful and serious. Mm-hmm. Right? See that with the woman in pink in the background?
Mm-hmm.
That woman in pink.
It's like he's showing
Ken Reynolds,
the kid, how to do something on his computer. He's pointing. Ah.
Yeah, she's a politician, I think. Mm-hmm. Let's see what she is. Rural. She is. She's governor of Iowa. Goodness gracious. Yeah, Kim Reynolds. She's the governor of Iowa. So there he is hanging out with the governor of Iowa. Oh, there's the she and I think the mayor of Waukee. So it's the mayor of Waukee. It's Kim Reynolds and it's Tim Cook. There they are walking down the steps of the Capitol building in Iowa with the Capitol serving as backdrop. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's Tim in Cincinnati. He's at the CTS, which is, I believe, testing equipment for Apple is one of the things that they do. And here he is hanging out with the people there. And of course, he's got many tweets that didn't involve pictures where he thanks Texas. He salutes the incredible women at Apple on Women's Equality Day. He sent out notes for Hurricane Harvey. And there was also a line. He said, "Our hearts are with the families and loved ones of those lost aboard the USS John S. McCain." This was referring to the ship accident that happened on August 22nd or the evening of the 21st. I forget which. And which is kind of an unusual, like, I don't think he's ever tweeted condolences as the CEO of Apple for, you know, servicemen that have died. Maybe I've missed one. He, of course, commented, and this doesn't surprise me, he commented on the white supremacists that were in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. He tweeted on about that twice. So, like, high profile appearances that sure look a lot like, like a politician's barnstorming tour.
Interesting.
And we're not, there were, I think Business Insider, maybe someone else, asked, there were a couple of different places.
I think it was the Des Moines Register started.
It might have been them. Yeah. Like, is he running for president?
And
they asked him, and he said no. Yeah. And he said no, but he has to say no, by the way. Anybody like Tim Cook who is thinking about running for president must say no when asked, because that keeps the questions coming. And when you want people to become invested in you as a candidate, the media asking you if you're running is a very, very good thing.
All right. So I look at all this stuff that's happened recently with Tim Cook. We'll call it his Midwest junket. He did pretty much the same thing in China. So is he running for office in China as well?
Well, who's to say that wouldn't be for the folks back home? Because he's showing us that he has an international presence too. Pardon the Freudian slip. having foreign business experience is the closest that a business person could come to touting foreign policy experience if they don't have actual foreign policy experience. Because to that effect, you know, I've talked a lot about the fact that Apple has become so big and so important that it is sometimes used as a pawn in on the ongoing battles between China and Apple. Economic battles in particular, but also political battles. So, right. So, you know, the job of negotiating Apple's presence in China, especially with China, you know, like, you know, the better, I've said this before too, the better Apple does in China, the harder it becomes for Apple in China. The more incentive the Chinese government has to squash them, because the current regime in China is very, very interested in promoting Chinese businesses at the expense of Western businesses, to not only keep those Western technology companies from owning markets in China, but for also for China to be able to turn around and compete with those same Western technology companies outside of China.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing. It's a really big thing. So one could argue that navigating the Byzantine paths of the Byzantine halls of Chinese business and, you know, the regulatory frameworks and the pure politics that go with every single decision that the communist authoritarian regime in China exerts on business in that country, one could argue that does give you at least a little bit of foreign policy experience.
Okay. So do you think Tim Cook is running for political office? And if so, what office?
I think he's considering running for president.
I don't think so.
I think that Tim Cook, here's the deal. Now, some of our listeners may well disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine. I think that Tim Cook is civic minded. I think that Tim Cook may well be looking at what's happening in the country and saying to himself, someone needs to step up and try to right the ship. And if no one else is going to do it, maybe that someone needs to be me. And I think that Tim Cook could possibly even do that without it being all about Tim Cook. Again, people are welcome to disagree with me.
All right. So I'm going to toss this out there, as long as we're just tossing ideas out. What if we have hit a point in our society and our culture where these mega corporations feel that it's necessary for them to change their image and appear more human to us? And so we have the CEOs making these public appearances to put that more humanistic face onto their companies. So Tim Cook is doing it. Facebook.
Zuckerberg.
Thank you. Mark Zuckerberg is doing it.
Zuckerberg may be considering a run also.
Sure. Or maybe.
By the way, Mark Zuckerberg is a punk ass kid. So, you know, like, dude, don't even think about running for president, sir.
Well, how old is he?
I don't know. He's a punk ass kid. He's 30 something. How old is Mark Zuckerberg?
You know, there is a minimum age to run for president.
He's 33. He's not old enough.
He's not old enough yet. You have to be.
But in 2020, he would be.
Yeah. All right. So he could.
Yeah, you do have to be 35. You have to match the qualifications needed to be a senator. For those keeping score at home.
Right.
So I get points for knowing that?
Sure.
I want to give myself points for it. If you're not willing to give me the points, I'm going to take the points.
That's so millennial.
fair enough. That's great.
Anyhow, I'm not ready to buy into Tim Cook and Mark Zuckerberg are laying the groundwork to run for the president of the United States.
I don't know that Mark is. I would be flabbergasted. I often think. I don't think of Mark Zuckerberg as a visionary, and I go back and forth on whether or not I'm being where I'm just projecting like my dislikes of Facebook onto him, or if I'm not giving him enough credit, or if as is my thesis, he was the guy at the right place at the right time, and that Facebook's success is not really about his having any vision. I could well be wrong about that, but I do know that Mark Zuckerberg is one smart cookie. He's probably smart enough to know that he's not going to win the presidency.
So here's another idea. What if these big technology companies that have woven their businesses so deeply into our lives, like into our personal lives, that they're feeling they need to preemptively shore up our trust in them? So this goes back to the present the company in a more human light. So maybe these CEOs are making these public appearances in part to make the company seem more friendly and more trustable.
Well, all right, let's take Mark out of this because I don't care about him. B, he doesn't stand Stoneball's chance in hell of winning. Although I suppose he could conceivably be a vice presidential candidate, but he's too young. America's not going to elect a 35-year-old president, I don't think. So let's take him out of this. Let's talk about Tim Cook, because Tim Cook's the one we know. We know Apple. We don't know Facebook that well.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. So now ask me your question in terms of Tim Cook.
Okay. So Apple is weaving itself far deeper into our personal lives. is Apple preemptively working to shore up our faith and trust in the company because of how much information about us they are maintaining?
Well, one could argue, well, I mean, it's always good. It's good PR. It's good PR to, you know, to be seen usually. And it's entirely possible. This is merely a coincidence. Maybe, you know, I saw something recently about, Tim Cook has some stocks that he's got a bonus, a signing bonus for being CEO of Apple, that are coming due relatively soon. And the higher Apple stock is, the more shares he actually gets.
Okay. So, of course, right? He has an incentive to make Apple as valuable as possible because it makes him as valuable as possible.
And this could, by the way, well explain the salesman mode that we were talking about in the last conference call, when he had fairly good results, but he still seemed to be in salesman mode again. And it could actually have been all about the fact that, you know, I would kind of like an extra $300 or $400 million in my pocket. Which, you know,
give or take.
Yeah, I know that if I had that possibility, I would probably be pretty motivated to get it. So, you know, can't really blame him for being motivated to get it.
Sure.
So my point is that, that, you know, he could just be in like, you know, I'm going to, you know, the we want people to know Apple. We want people to know, we want people to know who we are and to not consider us a big faceless corporation, especially as we make our positions known over things like equality and things like privacy and things like encryption and backdoors and not having backdoors. So, you know, it could be that Tim's just trying to raise his profile for those things. I think, however, that he is considering a run for the presidency. I'm not saying that he is running. I'm saying that he's considering it. And while he's considering it, he's, you know, maybe doing a little groundwork.
Okay. So here's another idea. What if, no, let me rephrase that. Do you think that people would be making the same assumption or jumping to the same conclusion if this had happened when Barack Obama was president? Here's where I'm going with this. Is it possible that there's a sizable portion of the population in the United States that's disillusioned with the current president and is disappointed and is looking anywhere to find anything that could be better?
Well, progressives love Tim Cook for sure, right? Mm-hmm. Tim Cook has been very vocal in his support of a lot of progressive causes, although certainly not. I mean, you know, he limits his speaking on progressive issues to those that he thinks affect Apple's business. For instance, Tim Cook believes, one can agree or disagree with him on this, but Tim Cook believes that diversity and equality make Apple a better company. Mm-hmm. And to that end, he speaks up and out on diversity issues and equality issues. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all about Apple. So, yeah, I don't know. It's possible that I'm projecting or that other people are projecting. But I would say that we have seen a change in his PR, you know, face. We are seeing some things that are different, and those things happen to be awfully similar to the way politicians do their thing. You know, but the thing is, though, that he wouldn't leave Apple unprepared.
No,
he takes his responsibility to Steve Jobs's legacy and to his responsibility to the shareholders and his responsibilities to the employees and customers of Apple. I believe that he takes all of those things very seriously. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's not going to take off from Apple. I don't think he would stay CEO of Apple if he was running for president. I think he would at least take a leave of absence, if not resign.
Yeah, I think he would resign.
So, and we haven't really seen any indications that anyone else is being prepared to take over the company. So, you know, that would be the biggest fly in my particular ointment.
Yeah, it's and while the idea of Tim Cook as president could be very appealing to a lot of people, I'm just not in a position where I'm ready to buy it. I mean, I look at everything that Tim did with the, I'll call it the Iowa junket, since I'm going to change what kind of junket it is every time I mention it, apparently. But I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, so Apple got some crazy sweet deal to tax breaks and who knows what other incentives from the local and state government. So Apple needs to present themselves in a very favorable light to those communities, because that's money that they're not going to get because of the tax breaks and rebates. So you go in and you are very gracious, you're very open, and you do the right speeches, you shake the right hands, and you have the photos taken at the right places, which of course sounds very political, but could also be just very...
Okay, let me stop. So I get your point. You're wrong. No, wrong. First of all, Apple always gets these sweet deals, and Tim Cook has never showed up personally that I know of. Certainly never tweeted these kinds of photographs. Secondly, I'm the oddball about tax breaks. What most people think about is jobs. Everyone's thrilled. Oh, my God, Samsung's going to open up a big facility in Manor, Texas, and it's going to be great. It's going to be all these jobs. And, you know, so what the their tax breaks with all the kids that are coming in and the families of the people that are working at that Samsung facility are overloading the schools, and there's not enough money to go around to actually be able to properly teach the kids because Samsung's not paying its fair share. Right. No, people don't think about that. I think about that. I get pissy about it, but no one else does. All other people are concerned about is the jobs. They're willing to give the tax breaks to get the jobs because it's a very, you know, whatever. They've got, in my opinion, they have a myopic view. Mm-hmm. In their opinion, they're the only thing they're worried about is jobs, and that's fine. He's never done this before. The Apple always gets the sweet deals. You know, Apple has data centers all over the country. We've never seen Tim do this. Apple has these renewable facilities all over the world, but including many places in the U.S., and he's never done this. So, and there's never been any pushback. No one's pissy about the tax breaks and things. So I don't think he needs to do this to make Apple look better. I think that people are just thrilled to have Apple in the first place.
Well, I'm sure they are. And I'm just tossing out ideas off the top of my head. But the bottom line is you see this as a sign that Tim is at least considering a run for the president of the United States. And I'm not ready to accept that yet.
I think if we look at history, I think that we can therefore conclude that he is absolutely going
to
do this.
I was just about to bring that up, which means the next president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Cook.
That's great. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. I don't know if he could win. You know, it's interesting. I one of the thoughts that's been running through my head, and again, there's some people that disagree with me, and that's fine, is that Donald Trump's presidency has probably ruined the chances of any businessman being able to be elected based on their business experience.
Well, depending on who you talk to, we still haven't had a businessman run for president.
Well,
come on. That's a funny joke.
It is a funny joke. But I mean, the reality is that his supporters and fans absolutely believe in his business success. You know, rightly or wrongly, they do. And that was one of the reasons why many Trump supporters have cited for the support of the president. He's been a great businessman. He's had all the success in business, so he'll be a great president. And I've wondered whether or not that has spoiled the pot for other businessmen. I mean, I think about H. Ross Perot, his run in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And his whole deal was he was going to bring business sense. You know, he's going to come in and treat the government like a business. And many people at the time predicted that would not work. And I was personally one of them. And I think that we're seeing what happens when you treat the government like a business. The government is not a business and it doesn't function as a business. So ironically, maybe it's not ironic, but I don't know that Tim Cook could get elected.
I'm with you. I don't know if any businessman or woman could get elected
at this point. Yeah. If like for the next, you know, next 10 or 20 years, I don't really know. I don't know. I mean, it would really, obviously it would depend on the campaign. It would depend on the message. It would depend on the delivery
and the other candidates.
Yeah. And now my buddy, John Keat, made a joke about how Tim Cook's wooden delivery would be perfect for politics. but that's because he gets really pissy about Tim's involvement in politics as it is.
He also gets really uptight about Tim's presenter skills.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I don't know that Tim's speaking abilities would necessarily be good for politics. Like in a debate, he would be so reasonable, and what I fear is that he would be so reasonable and even that, you know, that it wouldn't get anybody excited.
Well, it worked for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Ronald Reagan was a great speaker, though.
Oh, I know. Ronald Reagan was, that was his ultimate skill.
Yeah, for sure.
He was an incredible speaker. No, I just meant in the debates. He was always so good at staying even keeled through.
He was even keeled, but he was compelling. And mm-hmm. Tim Cook is not a very compelling speaker.
And right? we continue to buy a new iPhone every year.
Tim Cook becomes the most interesting when he's angry. To me, you know, right? That's when he becomes an interesting speaker. When you start seeing that passion leak through,
and you've seen that,
and I have, and it was interesting. It was compelling, and we've seen it a couple of other times since when his anger is on a particular topic has shown in an interview, which is different than the shareholder meeting. But so, yeah, I don't know that he could win. I don't know that he would really want the job. Who knows? You could be right. He may not. This may not be anything. May just be, you know, Tim Cook working on Apple's PR. End of story.
Yeah, that's where I'm headed with this for now. But of course,
I can change. All right, so would love to hear what you guys think. Absolutely love to hear what you guys think.
Yep. How would people do that, Brian?
They can write us at ACM and MacObserver.com, or they can hit us on Twitter at Context Machine.
Oh, that would be awesome. Can't wait to hear from all of you.
Yeah, please. Yeah, you can feel free to yell at us and tell us how wrong we are.
Yeah, and but I'm glad you finished that banana.
A long time ago. All right, so speaking of crap, I think you wanted to yammer on about the Echo. How do I have friends?
I'm not really sure.
And more importantly, why are you one of them?
I've got to come clean. Dave gives me money to say I'm your friend.
Well, yeah, but technically half that money's mine. Oh, so I'm giving you money. Okay, that works.
Yeah, there you go. Now you get it.
All right, yeah, it's all clear now.
All right. So, all right. So this morning... Okay, what got me on the Echo kick this time is that this morning I wrote up a tip explaining how you can set up the new multi-room streaming music feature that's available for the Echo, Echo Dot, and Echo Show, and it's a feature that just should have been there long ago.
These are Amazon's wiretaps that you're supposed to put in your home so that they can listen in on you, right? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, those are the very ones.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyhow, now you can set them up so that you can tell one of them to start streaming music, and then any others that you have chosen to group with that one will stream music as well. So in my case, I just created what I'll call the poor man Sonos, because I have two Echo Dots, and they're like opposite ends of my place. So I can have the same music playing everywhere just by talking once. And it's great. And it's what Amazon did with the software update was kill my interest in pursuing Sonos. But that's not the big point there. It's that I think that Amazon is preemptively trying to make the Echo product line more enticing now ahead of the HomePod launch. And I think this was a clever move for that.
Well, so are they reacting in advance to Apple, or are they simply just trying to constantly push Echo along?
I think it's some of both. What Amazon does, like every week I get an email that tells me, hey, here's a new feature. And
so so every week you get an email that tries to train you on how to properly use your wiretap. Am I getting this right?
No. What they do every week is tell me a new way that I can use my wiretap.
Yeah, so they're trying to train you, because with the Echo, you have to train the user.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And that's still one of the biggest things for me. I don't get why people are talking about Echo and Alexa as artificial intelligence. I have not seen any indication anywhere that there's artificial intelligence at play here. There's sophisticated voice parsing.
Yeah, it's like it's a reverse parrot wiretap.
Yeah. So I say the exact right words in the exact right order, and I can make something happen. So there's no natural conversation here. Although I've created different actions where I've used words so that it appears as if I'm using natural conversation, which is just absolutely horrible here. It shouldn't be that way. It should just be like on Star Trek, where you talk and it figures it out and it just works.
Which is Apple's long game, but mm-hmm. it's given Amazon this fantastic ability to get out there first, while Amazon also continues theoretically to pursue its long game in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now here we are with a very basic thing, letting me stream the same music in multiple rooms. And like a lot of people, I'm really excited about that. And my Echo just became substantially more valuable to me on my two Echoes.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really want music coming out of your Echo? Your Dots?
And see, here's the problem. This is where you get myopic. Because you look at the Echo Dot, and you see it as just the Echo Dot. I plug in nice speakers to it. And
Wait, hold on. I see it as just a wiretap there. I fixed it for you, but go ahead.
I'm so glad that you're having to spend your money to buy my friendship. Anyhow, I plug in speakers. So I don't use the Echo Dot's own speaker. I use the nice bookshelf speakers.
Okay. So when you were talking about like this, like you're not interested in Sonos, I'm thinking like Sonos sounds a lot better, dude, but I guess, yeah, if you're able to plug in, I did that microphone thing again.
Just so you know, the whole microphone thing near your face, totally new thing for podcasting. I totally get why it's a problem for you.
I don't know why this is suddenly a problem for me. No idea why this is suddenly a problem for me. I apologize to everyone's ears. Anyway, I get it. Sonos music streaming. That makes sense. Is there any kind of, have you tried it? I know you set it up. Do you have speakers set up on your Dots?
Yeah.
Both of them.
And it's great. Well,
any latency issues from the, cause you're going out, you're going not only to the Dots, streaming the music, and that's gotta be synced up, but then you're actually going out to a pair of external speakers too.
And it sounds great. I am not detecting latency. And so this morning when I set it up initially so that I could get my screenshots for my tip, I finished setting it up and then told my Echo to, or Echoes, well, I told one of them to play jazz music everywhere because I set up a group called Everywhere. And no latency. I was listening to the music. I'd walk up and down the hall so that I could listen to both. And it was great. It was perfect. It worked exactly as I expected.
That's great.
Really nice. Yeah.
That's great. So to your original thesis was that you think that Amazon is, you know, I don't know. Is it fair to say worried about what Apple's doing with HomePod?
I don't know if I want to say worried, but I want to say on alert. I think they're watching what Apple is doing very closely to see how it's going to impact their business. So I don't think they're playing the same game that, say, smartphone makers made when the iPhone came out, where they just dismissed what Apple was doing and then got burned. I think Amazon is watching closely to see what Apple does so that they're prepared if the HomePod takes off and becomes a really big thing. Because it's not so much about buying the hardware. It's about buying the ecosystem. And if you buy a HomePod, you're buying outside of the Amazon ecosystem. That's what I want to avoid.
Well, of course. Yeah, of course. And that's, you know, precisely why Apple, that's the danger in Apple's long game, right? It's the danger in Apple's long game. Apple may be trying to do this right, where they're trying to protect privacy, they're making devices. The HomePod in particular has enough processing power that it can actually handle a lot of things that Amazon has to send off to its servers. Mm-hmm. You know, the Siri ecosystem, along with the iOS ecosystem, is built largely with privacy in mind from the ground up. And Amazon's Alexa system is precisely not.
Yeah, it's designed precisely to help incentivize me to buy things from Amazon.
Right. And right. And also for Amazon to better listen in on you and compile its dossier on you so that it knows what you want. So, what was the joke the other day about we were talking about?
Going to the mailbox to see what Amazon delivered, to see what I
needed. To see what you needed, yeah. You know, that's the goal, right? Amazon wants to know, you know, Eric Schmidt joked that we know what you're thinking better than you do, or Google knows what we're thinking better than you do.
And that was a really creepy joke.
It was a really creepy and stupid, completely, what's not unaware. It's, what's a word when you were like, have your head like way in the clouds and are completely oblivious. It was an oblivious. Thank you. It was an oblivious statement to make, whether or not it was accurate. But Amazon's doing the same thing. Amazon wants to know what you think, what you need, what you're going to want, and it wants to be there, ready to go for when you need it. And you know, I would assume that Jeff Bezos would consider it a massive victory if they in fact could send you things before you ordered them. As it is. They do actually put things in their warehouse before you order them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by using big data and analyzing buying trends, they try to position inventory in their logistical centers before that stuff is actually ordered by customers. So they're almost doing it, but they, you know, the part of Alexa's entire deal, and the reason why I call it a wiretap, is that they are trying to deepen that, you know, that presence into your life so that they can further their ability to do that sort of thing.
Now, the HomePod will be a wiretap into our homes as well. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes, I am comfortable with Apple doing that because Apple is doing what it can to protect our privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm comfortable with Apple's devices listening all the time. Rightly or wrongly, there are plenty of people who won't even be comfortable with that, and I get that. Like, you know, the purism people. Is that the right? Did I get the right name?
Maybe.
Purism Linux. Is it Purism? I interviewed the guest.
Yeah, Purism. I mean, talking about.
Yeah, yeah, Purism. Like, you know, those folks, they're like, yeah, that's fine. If you want to trust Apple, that's fine. But things could change with Apple too.
Sure. Yeah. Well, what I can say for sure right now is that with the update for the Echoes and Alexa that came out today, that Amazon did a great job of locking me even tighter into their ecosystem,
yeah,
because they just gave me the streaming music solution that I was looking for. Which means I'm going to be streaming more Amazon Prime music, at least for the near future, when I'm just around home, than Apple Music, because I have the convenient system that I need now, and it just works. So, of course, I'll still end up getting a HomePod, because how can I not? But it'll be interesting to see when the HomePod is in here what I use more for streaming.
Well, you know, to me, Apple has got to compete with the Dot. Let me rephrase that. Apple has got to have a less expensive way for me to extend HomePod functionality throughout my home than putting a HomePod in every room. Apple's got to do that. It doesn't have to be as cheap as the Dot, but it's got to be a lot less expensive than the HomePod. You know, it doesn't need to have the 17 speakers and microphones and things like that. It's got to be able to hear and listen for me when I'm, you know, in the bathroom or in the back part of the hall or, you know, somewhere that's not the living room where I do want possibly that great sound.
Yeah. If they could get something in the, I'll call it $150 to $175 range, that would just kill the Echo.
Yeah, I would rather see. Well, no. You know what? They're not going to do that. I don't think. What I want to see is a listening device that's not a speaker too.
Oh, okay. Well, then they should be able to get $99.
Yeah, $99
or less. Which is still twice what a Dot costs.
Yes, $99 or less. So somewhere between that $50 and $100 range. That's when I would really, like, you know, start to be excited about having Siri controlling my home.
Yeah, that would be very cool. I mean, right now we're at the point with the Echo Dot that when I see it's on sale for, you know, $45, $39, whatever, I stop myself from buying one because I've already blanketed my space with Dots. All I needed was two.
Right. Yet
I see the price and I'm like, oh my God, I should just get another.
Yeah. By the time you need more, there'll be a lot less. I mean, you know, Amazon is going to perpetually push those prices.
Of course. But the point is, even knowing I already have as many as I can use, it's still a compelling enough device for me. I see a sale and I almost buy one.
Right.
Yeah. I want that with HomePod.
Fair enough.
That would be cool. But for now, man, Alexa and Amazon have a stronghold in my place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wiretaps. All right. Listen, we went way long. We had another topic where we're not going to even get to it.
Yeah. So on one hand, we went way long, but on the other hand, we are right on time.
Like the way you think.
Yeah. Cause we're not actually going to run over, and I can make sure we don't, because I'm going to hit this button right now. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, which we very much appreciate. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Wiretaps.
Thanks for paying to be my friend.